Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, standing to give God the honor of reading His Word tonight. Thank you for coming. Hope you enjoy yourself. I've enjoyed myself so far. That singing's good. Amen. Almost had to sing it again, but I see them there huffing and puffing there, so I thought I hadn't better do that. The Lord Jesus Christ gave the church some gifts. Now I want you to understand that. He gave the church some gifts. And when someone is given something as a gift, I don't know about you, but I really, I'm very careful about that gift. Because it means that if someone gave it to me out of their own goodness of heart, and they said, no strings attached, it's yours. And that's a wonderful thing. All of us have had some gift given to us. And not too many times we want to say, no, I don't want that gift. Not very few times anybody ever say that. One time I used to play taps with my trumpet at all the military funerals here in Great Falls. I figured I'd get a dollar a toot. It's supposed to be funny, nobody laughed. With taps, you get a dollar a toot. Now it's up to $2 a toot. When they have a $5 a toot, I'll take it, amen. But I used to travel around a lot, and I got really friendly with these old Marines. And they're just crotchety old, rough-talking guys. But I'd get them to laugh, and I'd tell them jokes before they could tell me a joke, and so I didn't have to listen to dirty jokes. And they did, ha ha ho ho, after the, of course, afterwards, not during the funeral, but anyway. And one day, they offered me, and all of them are drunks. No, I shouldn't say all of them. Most of them. Pity them. You know, they go back, they get little coins or tokens, and they go back to the UFW and slam a couple down. And I really got to like them, talked about the Lord to them. And one day, we went clear out to Craig. Drove all the way out there for $20. That was a blessing. And when I got out there, after it was all over, the guy said, hey, Rev! They called me Rev. Come on over here! You want a beer? I said, I told you, I'm a teetotaler. He said, no problem. We got some near beer. You all know what near beer is? It tastes as bad as beer, but it doesn't give you a kick, amen. I mean, and it doesn't have alcohol in it. And I told him, I broke their heart. They wouldn't have a beer with them, you know. And I said, hey, you know what? The Bible tells me, abstain from all appearances of evil. And I don't want you to ever think that this old Baptist preacher would drink beer. And but I said, I really thank you for that. Very careful. You know, that's one gift that I did not receive. Sometimes there are certain things you won't take. And boy, you have to be so diplomatic to explain it to them. Because they're doing it out of the gift. They're doing it out of the, that guy had went down and got a whole six-pack of that just for me. Can you imagine coming home? Hey, baby. My wife, what are you drinking? She wouldn't know anyway because she doesn't even know what that stuff is. She was a Baptist preacher's daughter. And never tasted it. Thank God for that. Amen. So God gives us some gifts. Verse 7, chapter 4, Ephesians. But unto every one of us is given, there's your first gift, grace. According to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wow. That's a whole God. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he's qualifying to say, I want you to know this is Jesus Christ. This is the Messiah that I'm talking about here. Verse 11, and he gave some, here's your gifts, apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastor teachers. Now, that's all we have right now, the pastor and teachers and the evangelists. Four, doing what? Perfecting the saints. Four, the work of the ministry. Four, the edifying of the body of Christ. And then he says, till I come, till all come into the unity of the faith. That's very important for us. We need to all come to unity of faith. We need to come together. We want to be very careful. We don't shun each other and push other people away. We want to come in unity of the faith. Faith gives us unity. I know Christ, you know Christ, so we're brothers in Christ. I know Christ, you know Christ, so we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? So this unity, bringing us together, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. There he tells us, perfect man, perfect man. When you're perfected, you become perfect. Unto the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. Well, that's powerful. That we henceforth be no more children. Talks about why is the perfecting of faith? So that you'll grow up and you don't chase after stupid stuff that people try to tell you. You don't dabble into the world and you don't play with the things that are of Satan's. You stay away from that. Why? Henceforth, be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about in every wind doctrine by the sleight of man. That word sleight of man, have you ever heard of the hand is quicker than the eye? That's what it's talking about. The magic of people. They're getting you to believe something that is not really so. And cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. And there's a lot of that going on today. Guys on TV, they're deceiving you. I watched a deal the other day. I couldn't believe this guy. I just sat there and I'm trying to take it in, and I couldn't take any of it in. He had nothing doing nothing. He was just blowing smoke, amen. But speaking the truth in, there's a very key word there, speaking truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And then he says, from whom the body, whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase in the body unto the edifying of itself in love. He says, all of us have a different job to do. All of you at Heritage Baptist Church get a different job to do. I'm the pastor. I have a wild job than you don't have. How many Sunday school teachers? God bless you. And substitutes, raise your hand. Raise your hands. Substitute. I'm just looking who's not. I'm coming after you. Amen. You're a part of our church. How many deacons here tonight? You're a different part of our church. How many teenagers here tonight? Julie, you're not a teenager. Put your hand down. Yeah, all different parts. How many children here tonight? Yeah, different part of our church. Important? Yeah. Couldn't do it without you. You understand that? So Paul says here, hey, because of the perfecting, this is what we should be doing and working at it and continuing to perfect our souls and our minds to Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you about a little bit of that tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us and caring for us. Give us a great service tonight. We thank you for the beautiful music. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for speaking to our hearts in a great way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting is a profound word. It has to do with making something that's not into something that is. It has the idea of, in the Galen language, it talks about, it has something to do with medical idea. About how that you'd go to a doctor and a doctor would prescribe something for you or cut something out or sew something up so that you would become perfect again. It has the idea in the papyrus. The papyrus that it has to do with a building. The finished product of a building. When we came into this building, it was a building, but it had nothing in it. A few years later, we came in and put up walls and put up false ceiling and put up electrical and put all kinds of different things in it. And then we put chairs in there. We got piano, organ, why is there, is everybody hot? Open that thing up. I don't care if it's 50 below zero. I am hot. So the idea is that this building was not finished until it was furnished. And Paul writes, and he said, I want you to know that the pastors are to be perfecting the saints. They are to, the building is there, but they need to be filled up. This building of ours, this body of ours, needs to be completed. And once it can be completed, it's called perfect. That's kind of nice, amen. And so the perfecting of the saints is the fact that you have a pastor. The pastor, you cannot get this any other place than from your pastor to the church. And you can do what you want, and you can say all you want, and you can study all you want, but I'm going to tell you something, the Bible rings true. You get the perfecting of the saints in the local church. You can't get it from listening to the radio, even if you have to go out in your car and sit there and listen to it, because you can't get the very strong signal. You can't get it from listening and sitting down in front of a TV. It comes from a local church, the Ecclesia, the Call-Out Assembly of Baptized Believers. It comes where the man of God stands and proclaims the Word of God to furnish you, to finish you, to shapen you, to sharpen you, to get you to the point in your life that you can serve God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind. You can't get any other place. There's a new cult. I call it a cult. There's some people that they homeschool their kids, and then on Sunday they have church. House church. That is completely against the Word of God. Because you're not called out. You're just still there. How many is comfortable now? How many want some more of that cold air? How many want it to stop? Too bad. You're for it. Jesus told his disciples, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done." What was he doing? He was perfecting his disciples. James said, "Take heed, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, afflictions, and of patience." What's he doing? He's perfecting the saints. Peter said, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example." 1 Peter 2:21, "that we should follow his steps." Therefore, according to the Holy Script, there is no better place to be perfected than your local church by your local pastor, who is responsible for your perfecting. There's nobody in this world that is responsible for you except me. This is your church. And you have a pastor. The Bible said, obey them that have rule over you. The Bible said, salute them that have authority over you. I think that's pretty clear. And I spoke this morning about always in the human beings, there's always people that when they have the law or they have some statement, they fly all the way to the right. And then there's other people that hear that statement and fly all the way to the left. You can turn it off now. Because of the papistry or because of Roman Catholicism, and I'm looking very careful who's out here, because of that, Roman Catholicism said, "I, the Pope, speak ex cathedra," which means that he can say, "This is what God said." My Bible said, No man is to add or take from the Word of God. By the way, that'd be a pretty good idea next time you buy one of those silly Bibles and not an authorized version or King James. When you take away, or you add to. But this Pope will tell you that he is a grandpapa. He will do, you will do what he says or else. They say in the church, don't read the Bible. We'll read it for you. We're the milkman. We bring you the milk. You don't need to read your Bible. So, us Baptists who believe this Bible, from cover to cover, we believe in what they call the priesthood of the believers. There is not one priest. The preacher is not the priest. We are all priests. And so, what do? They climb clear to the right and say, oh no, oh no. And then some climb clear to the left and say, oh yeah, oh yeah. And instead of staying where you're supposed to stay, you say, you know what? We're the priests of the believers. Brother Berryman, you pray for your children, and you pray for your family, and you lead your family. Brother Rick, do the same thing. Brother Ortiz, do the same thing. Jason, same thing, you know. But we also have a pastor. And that pastor should be feared. I don't know about you, but if I was a lowly airman and I'm walking down the road and here comes a commander, I'm going to pop to attention because I want to make sure that I make rank. And I want to make sure that I do everything that is right because I don't like a letter of reprimand. I will pop to attention. I will salute him. Before I do, I'll make sure I buff my shoes, make sure they're clean, amen. And I will try my best to make sure that everything is right on my uniform because I don't want to disappoint my commander. Because he carries a lot of weight. Yes or no? So when the Bible says, salute them that are in authority, that means pop to attention when the preacher is talking to you. It means listen to him. Sometimes I'll just say something in passing that I want to help you, and you just blow it off, and you think, I don't know what I'm talking about. I do know what I'm talking about. I love you. I have given my life for you. Do you understand that? My life is your life. I am not your servant, but I'm God's servant, though I will serve you. I think there ought to be what we call a servant leadership quality to us. When I see something that needs to be done, I'll get it done, or I'll help somebody help me. That's just part of it. I guess the thing that what I'm trying to tell you is, if you're willing to be perfected, there are certain areas in your life you've got to be careful about. Now, the Bible says that the pastor is not the Lord over the flock, and that's very important. I try never to do that. And I try never to humiliate or to cause you to be afraid of me. I know some of you say, man, I'm telling you, I used to hear this a lot. You really intimidate me. And I'm going like, why do I intimidate you? Paul the Apostle says, do you hate me because I tell you the truth? Now, my dad never intimidated me until I was doing wrong. My dad never intimidated until I was doing something I shouldn't have been doing or something he told me not to do. That's not intimidating. That's being responsible for your child. And I hope I don't intimidate you. If I do, sorry. Don't mean to. I got a gruff old voice. And it'd be too bad. I'm still living the same life 44 years. Still some of you families in this church have still been around here over 20 years. So I just want you to know, there she goes, she ticked off. And I just want you to know that there's just something about this perfecting the saints that someone has to take the authority. Somebody has to be responsible. And you can't get that unless you are in a church that you have a pastor that you can look up to and you can love. And as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, and I'll say the things that you follow me as I follow Christ. If I don't follow Christ, hey, punch out. First of all, tell me what I'm doing and then leave. Or how about telling me and let me change? That's a novel idea. People punch out and say, I'm leaving. Why? Well, I don't know. I'm just leaving. I don't like this place. Can't help you. I can't perfect you. I want to perfect you. I want you to, when things happen, I was telling those folks this morning, when things happen in the church and I notice something that's not just going like it should, I try to get messages to bring that back in the phone, make sure that I perfect those saints and know that they won't make a mistake like that anymore. If I see some of our teenage kids walking close to the world and dabbling in things that they should never dabble in, I'll bring messages about that. Because what am I trying to do? I'm trying to perfect those saints. I want them to make their own decisions. By the way, I will not always be here, and neither will your parents. And some big deal is going to come up in your life, and you're going to have to make a decision on your own two feet. And I want you to make that decision based on the biblical principles. Not what your daddy said, not what your preacher said, but why did you make that decision? Now, you can go to school and your kids are getting you to try to do something and say, man, my preacher killed me. You use that anytime you want. Because I will. Use that anytime you want. Well, my pastor, he'd really, what kind of preacher you got? Oh, he's crazy. Oh, he's an old fuddy-duddy. Man, he's from the old school. I don't care what you say. I used that a couple times when I was in high school and got me in a lot of trouble. I could have really gotten in trouble one night, and I said, my pastor will kill me. And then also, I used to say, you know my mama, and she'll kill me. Right, Tommy? As a kid, you're supposed to use that, right? Yeah. My mama will kill me. I used to say, my dad's a supervisor. Good night. You do that, I'll be in trouble. He's a good friend of the sheriff and the judge. Are you out of your mind? I can't do that. And they go, okay, all right. Made me not look like a sissy. I don't care what it takes. Sometimes we just get in a position, we just got to get out of that thing. Paul describes the qualities or the requirements of the man of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 8. There's requirements. You ought to know them. You ought to read them. Does my pastor do these things? Is this what he does? Is it? And if he does, you get in rank. You get in line. If he doesn't, speak to him. The Bible does say, though, you should never bring a railing accusation against the man of God unless there are two or three witnesses. And that's very important because anybody can say, yeah, I saw a preacher over here. One day I was sitting in the mail office. For some reason I put a white pen in my mouth. And I was writing some things down of it, and someone said I was smoking. And when I heard that, I really did start smoking. And the preacher came up to me and said, man, I thought you were smoking. I said, what are you talking about? He said, man, you got that white thing hanging out of your mouth. And there's a pastor from over here, and I laughed. I said, man. I said, buddy, if it's real, let me at least get the nicotine from Minerva. But anyway. Here's a couple other things I want to tell you. We've looked at the pastor's responsibility in the perfecting the saints. Let's look at the church just for a moment, okay? We look at the church's responsibility of the perfecting saints. Number one, you obey, you listen and obey. Most times, most people don't listen. And if you don't listen, you can't obey. Very important. Some of your parents, you'll tell your kid to do something, and they didn't listen, and they go down and they bring something dumb back to you, and you say, what'd you do that? Well, you told me. Well, it's your fault. You didn't say, hey, son, I want you to get this for me. And they start to, whoa, come here back here. What did I ask you to get? Well, I don't know, but you told me to run. your fault. You did not explain to them what they were supposed to get. And many times I think us pastors, we expect you to know what we know. And you don't know. And that's why the perfect and the faint is so important for a pastor, to make sure that you understand there are biblical principles in this world how you ought to live. What's a biblical principle if someone does something wrong and you see them? What's the first thing you should do to them? What's a biblical principle? Go to them. Say, brother, I saw that you were driving 850 miles an hour down here. And you know what? It's 35 through here. I think it'd be best you didn't do that anymore. That's a biblical principle. It really is. It's a biblical principle. Go to them. Talk to them. Say, you know, hey, you shouldn't do that. All of a sudden, next day, he's leaving a paper trail. And you say, hey, James, come out with me. I want you to come. You and I talk to this guy. And so we come to him and we say to you, you know, it's very dangerous. There are deer out there, and if you hurt one of my deer, I'm going to be kicked off. I got 3 big bucks. You come around here about 10, 11 o'clock at night, there's 3 big bucks. Don't you dare shoot them things. There's 3 big bucks like that. I got a picture of them the other night. And you may hit one of those and kill yourself. And who's going to raise your kids? I'm not raising those stinking boys of yours. Now, Brother James and I come to him. He blows us off. Don't you tell me how to drive. You're breaking the law. It's a bad testimony. You shouldn't do that. Sunday morning, what am I supposed to do? Bring forth the church. If he will not hear me, and if he will not hear too, then the Bible says you bring him to the church. That's a biblical principle. Therefore, at best, you take care of your stuff.
Amen.
What is going on in the nursery? They're getting excited. That's right, sister. Go check that thing out. The responsibility of the church is to listen so they can obey. Secondly, they are to learn. They're to learn. You're to learn some things. Hey, don't sit there like a bump on the log. Learn some things that can help you through this life. Your pastor will perfect the saints. He will tell you about raising children. He will tell you about how to take care of your wife, how to take care of your husband. He will tell you how to live for God. He will tell you in the midst of troubles and trials, you trust God. He will tell you that you need to be in your Bible every day. He'll tell you that you need to be praying every day. He'll tell you you ought to be out soul winning. He'll be telling about to pass out track. He'll be telling you how to walk in a very, very ugly world out here, and how to guide your eyes and guard your heart and guide your mind. He'll tell you those things. You listen now. Don't just go pitching them off. That's just another sermon. I wish he'd hurry up because I want a nacho. You remember the illustration about the word in the papaya? The papaya. What? Help me. Huh? The papyrus. You know what I'm talking about, Peter? It's a piece of paper. They're talking about building. I can't even think of it now. Don't treat me like that. But anyway. It was talking about building, remember? And the building wasn't done. Would you please, when you come to church, accept the furniture? We accept the furniture. Would you help me teach you? I said this morning, I don't know why in the world guy ever take a job that's 24/7, 365, constantly There's never a day that I don't think about you. I go see my kids in South Carolina. You know what I'm thinking about? Y'all. That's all I'm thinking about. I wonder what you're doing. I wonder how Brother Ross is doing. I wonder how Julie's doing. Pray for her. I wonder how the Rosses are doing. By the way, anybody see them today? Are they gone? Yeah. Man, I'm scared to death. I called them today and couldn't find them. That's my heart. And, you know, you think about people. I think Brother Wall needs a job. And, you know, praying and begging God for his perfect help. I know some of you people have back problems. I know some of you people having testicle problems. I know some of you people just having some tough time in life. Why in the world would a guy want a job like that? Now I want you to look at our responsibility. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's it. Perfecting God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting means to be faithful, to work the work of the ministry, edifying the body, to cleanse ourselves from filthiness of the flesh, and cleanse ourselves from filthiness of the spirit, and perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What does the Bible say in Luke chapter 22, verse 32? But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Perfect the faith. Jesus was talking about Peter there. John 21. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, or saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now remember now, what were these he was talking about? The fish. They just caught a whole bunch of fish. Jesus already raised from the grave, and he's sitting on the bank. You've got coal there. He's got fire coal there. He's got fish already made for them, and he's got honeycomb, and they're sitting there. And Jesus says, Simon, son of Joseph, lovest thou me more than these stinking fish? That was my interpretation of stinking fish, all right? And he said, I am Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. And every one of those scriptures you could put, perfect my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, and thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Now, Jesus Christ is my example, right? So if I come to you and I say, hey, make sure you do this. And you're going to say, hey, preacher, you know. And I come to you again, I said, don't forget to do that. You know. And the third time I come, what are you going to normally do? Well, damn it. I'm quitting the church. You just keep hounding me and hounding me and hounding me. Hey, why don't you tell that Jesus and Peter? I have found something in my life that if someone tells me the first time, okay, second time, maybe the third time, I got it. So I carry this thing around, write down the things I should do, you know. Do you get it? So much. I put in here some things I want to preach on. I'm perfecting the saints. I want you to be the best. When I used to whoop mom, I used to have time out with my boys. Don't whoop your kids. Have time out. Time out and whooping is the same thing, but don't tell them with that. Amen. When I have time out with my boys, when it got all over and they're rubbing the tears out of their eyes, I'd say, now, boy, I want you to know I love you. I put my arm on him. I wasn't want to hurt my boy. I was there to train him. I wasn't there to maim him. I was there to train him so that when he got old, he would not depart. And a preacher, if he is worth his salt, will stick his bony finger in your face and say, you better stop that or God is going to get you. It's not because he doesn't love you. It's because he loves you. That preacher is taking a chance. And some people bail out. And they say, this is grievous. I don't want no more of that. You ain't going to tell me what to do. Well, I got all the Bible on my side on this one, guys. And it's not that we want to hurt you. It's that we want to perfect you. We want to bring you to be perfect. We want you to bring you into the frame. We want you to bring you into level. We want to shape in you. We want to sharpen you so that you can be a great, great asset to the cause of Jesus Christ. So, anyway, I hope I can help you. I hope I can be a blessing to you. Don't forget, we still live at 724 55th Street South. And my phone number is everywhere. And you can get my number. You can call me. And when troubles, I had a lady tell me today, she says, I've been in the hospital 3 times. You never came to see me. I said, you never told me. She says, I know. And then she told me about her sister who's been in the hospital I don't know how many times too. I said, why don't you people call me? Well, we know you're busy. Don't you start with me there. I'm not too busy. I'll get the job done. I will get the job done. I will come. I'll even pick up your 3 kids and take them to someplace. And I'll make sure you're fed and make sure you're taken care of. Yeah, I will. So don't give me that baloney. You're as busy as you want to be. I was going to quit at 7:03, now 7:07. You kept me going.